Hello, I'm Dan Bender. Every day, a countless number of individuals receive a diagnosis that includes a word such as incurable, terminal, or perhaps inoperable. Most of us reluctantly accept such a diagnosis, while a minority has the tenacity and strength to seek out a solution. I'm here in beautiful Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, to report on the heartbreaking challenge of a local family, how they dealt with it, and how their experience is now having a positive impact on thousands of other families around the world. Join me. On August 12th, 2000, Patrick Rivera was born. He started life as a healthy 8-pound, 1-ounce baby boy, always ready to give anyone who held him a big, bright smile. But something changed suddenly on August 13th, 2002, that would forever change the course of the Rivera family.
The thing that was most noticeable is his lack of eye contact. He had almost no eye contact whatsoever. He almost looked through people, and he stared at the TV until he pretty much fell asleep.
At the time, Patrick's Aunt Kim was living in the same house and also worked at Patrick's preschool as a teacher.
In some ways, it seemed that he had reverted back to behaviors he had when he was a baby. He was not responding to his name. He was running around in ways that were not appropriate for children of his age, not to mention flapping, squealing, the ambulance sound, we called it, excessive drooling. All the while, his pediatricians were saying to my sister, "Don't worry, this is just a phase. He'll eventually outgrow it."
Patrick didn't outgrow this strange behavior and was eventually diagnosed with autism, a neural development disorder now afflicting about 1 in 88 children in the U.S. Patrick's family was devastated.
Emotionally, it's very difficult to have a sick child, especially when you had a neurotypical child, and then something happens to your child and you don't really know what it is that happened to your child, but somehow your life as you knew it changes drastically overnight. And then, of course, when the child stops being loving and the child stops looking and the child stops looking for you, all those kind of things also are very distracting for the bond between a mother and her child.
Autism put a tremendous amount of stress on our entire family. I remember waking up pretty much every night to either Patrick crying or him running around. Then I would hear my sister come down the stairs, have to prepare him a bottle, try to sit with him, soothe him, get him to go back to sleep, which was nearly impossible.
Patrick's brother Alex experienced life with autism firsthand and has had to learn to live with the limitations of his sibling.
Like, if I ask him, "Hey, wanna go come and play a video game with me?" he just won't do it, so that's a bit frustrating.
According to experts, autism is incurable, but Carrie wasn't ready to accept that as the final word.
So what made you believe you could cure Patrick when the accepted medical belief was, and I suppose still is, that this can't be done?
Within a week of having had the diagnosis, I ran into a lady that I knew from tennis. And I told her exactly what happened, and she says, "I have a friend who started the Early Autism Center in Toronto, Canada, and I'm going to have her email you." Well, within 24 hours, I had a very long email from this wonderful angel, and she told me all about what happened, and she told me where to go to get help, and that autism is curable, that they're curing kids all the time, and this fabulous guy is here, and you got to go see him.
This started a 6-year odyssey of treatment protocols and therapies that were administered by numerous doctors and therapists.
We went to the recommended doctor, the Defeat Autism Now doctor, and we did everything from diet, supplements, chelation, and hyperbarics and other things with him. And we did notice an improvement with the diet. We were able to recover 3 words that he had had prior to getting sick, and so we had recovered some speech, so we knew that the diet did work. And then we did the hyperbaric oxygen treatment. We also noticed that we had improved language as well.
The financial cost of autism is staggering. According to the CDC, the cost of care generally ranges from $40,000 to $60,000 per child per year.
It's ironic that we've spent about $1 million trying to recover our child in the past 8 years, And the ironic thing is that majority of the things that were inexpensive, like diet and supplements, and we were able to do them at home, were the things that gave us the most bang for the buck.
Carrie and her husband, Guillermo, were fortunate in that they could afford to spend that kind of money to try and help their son. The family operates a successful advertising business, which of course had to keep operating during all the turmoil.
Yeah, we definitely spend a lot of money, and I wish we knew then what we know now.
Autism also impacts the relationship between parents.
We almost became a statistic. Basically, when you have a child with autism, the first 5 years you have about an 80% chance of getting a divorce, and within the first 10 years of diagnosis you have about a 90% chance of getting a divorce.
Fortunately, hope was not lost.
So in late 2005, I was told by the doctor that we were seeing at the time that the new fashion in autism recovery was going to be hyperbarics.
Carrie was put in contact with Bob Sands, a world-renowned expert in hyperbaric engineering. He advised Patrick receive 40 treatment sessions. Carrie followed his advice, and the results were impressive.
Within about two or three weeks after finishing our first set of 40 sessions, my son started to get more speech. So we knew that the hyperbaric chamber was a really good thing.
A hyperbaric chamber is commonly used aboard diving ships to help divers who come up too fast from developing the bends, which are bubbles of nitrogen in the blood. In recent years, it is also being used in medicine as a way to increase oxygen levels in the body to help alleviate various conditions. Patrick's positive results led the family to set up an autism clinic and install a hyperbaric chamber of their own.
Where not only would it help our son get well, but it would help other people heal themselves from whatever disorders that they had. And then, of course, other children without the ability to use a hyperbaric chamber financially would be able to have access to that for free.
Patrick now receives a cluster of 10 treatments over a period of 10 days every 3 months.
Take your shirts off and your shorts and shoesies.
Patrick's Aunt Kim once again appears in his life, this time as his certified hyperbaric technician.
Patrick's in the hyperbaric chamber right now. He's doing one session that'll take 90 minutes, give or take about 15, 20 minutes for the pressurization and depressurization. The environment inside is 100% oxygen, and he's just hanging out in there watching his favorite Muppets movie.
We did notice over the first 3 years that we had the clinic that pretty much diet, supplements, and maybe some hyperbarics or a little chelation really didn't recover the majority of the children.
So what happened next?
In 2009, I went to visit a doctor in Guadalajara, and he at the time was doing IV chelation on children that we were treating. And in walked his nurse with all these little cute bottles. There were a bunch of green bottles and blue bottles, and I asked him what that was, and he told me that it was detoxification drops. And so I told him, oh, I wanted 10 of each. So I took 10 of each home with me, and I tried them out, and I broke out in a rash, so I figured that was probably a bad thing, and so I shelved them.
The cute bottles turned out to be MMS, the street name for sodium chloride, which, when mixed with citric acid, turns into chlorine dioxide.
So I started using MMS, these detoxification drops that I had found a year prior in about 20 months ago. That was in the summer of 2010 that I started to use them. And I started to use them on my son after my husband had tried a few days of them and he was fine. And so when we started them on my son about 7 days later, my son turned to me and asked me things that he had never said before, like, I want to take a bath, I want to brush my teeth, things like that that he just didn't say before. And he was doing it all while he was looking me in the eye, and he had just was so alive and so in his body. It was sort of like his soul had returned to his body for the first time in 8 years, and it was really exciting to see. And of course, over the next 20 months, not only did we use it with him, but sharing that same information with other mothers and them doing the exact same things in their homes, 38 children, 20 months of using MMS have recovered and lost their diagnosis and are now neurotypical children in regular schools, having friends and having full lives because of having used MMS.
In a nutshell, how are you using MMS with these kids?
in autism, anything in autism, whether it's a supplement or whatever it is, we go low and we go slow. It's always low and slow, because then you get less aggravations and you can actually sort out what you're seeing. Because if you go too fast with anything, whether it's a good thing like zinc or vitamin C or whatever the supplement might be, the best thing you can do is go very low and very slow. And so I started to take that same approach with MMS, because with my son, I'd gone too fast, and so I got a lot of detoxification, I got a lot of Herxheimer's, so there was nausea involved, and which is not something we're looking for. So if we start, if we go very slow, and we raise it as the body's able to tolerate it, then we get only positive changes, which is nice, because we're killing off the pathogens at a rate that the body's able to keep up with it.
And what about your success rate? Are you seeing results with every child?
I don't think that anything will give you the desired results in every case, because everybody's different. I mean, anybody can take it for any reason and still have different results. But what I have noticed is you can say that everybody that I've ever seen take it, that does it correctly, has improvements. And then, of course, there's certain people that are going to have recoveries in shorter periods of time. Then there's certain people that are going to get desperate and they're not going to see recovery in the first 2 or 3 months, and they're going to run and try the next amazing cure-all that's out there. So if, in fact, we really focus on what autism is and why the chlorine dioxide molecule helps to cure it, it has to do with the fact that everything is based in pathogens, and MMS is directly a killer of pathogens and nothing else. So that's how we're able to have and repeat the good results in many of the children.
Do you have any idea why it works better for some than others?
With everything, the application is the most important thing. Not any two parents are exactly the same, not any two children are exactly the same. So there's some people that are giving it with juice and the juice doesn't work, or some people giving it with antioxidant supplements like vitamin C, Moringa, CoQ10. There's a lot of different supplements that will kill off the MMS, because MMS is a low potency oxidizer, whereas pretty much anything that's antioxidant will kill it. So there's a lot of reasons why it doesn't work. And then, of course, there's a lot of people that just don't even follow the diet on a 7-day basis. So there's some basic things to recovering autism that have to be in place for everything else to work.
What impact does the age when you start the protocol have on the success rate? Does it help to start earlier or later?
A young child can recover faster in many cases than an older child. We've seen this a lot in autism recovery. We'll see, you know, 2 or 3 year olds start diet, a few supplements, maybe some methyl B12 shots, and just pop right out. They're talking, they're, you know, playing with their parents. They've pretty much returned to what would be normal, neurotypical, as we like to call it. But then there's children also that they don't seem to make that exact same type of recovery. So I think it goes back to the individual child, because I've also had some children that were older, some 9-year-old children and 12-year-old children that have improvement very quickly, because of course the child is ready for it, the body is ready for it, it is applied correctly. Every situation is a little bit different, but we will typically see some of the younger children that are recovering faster because they've been sicker less time is kind of the basic idea as well.
So are you still seeing improvements with Patrick now that he's 11 years old?
Absolutely. I would say probably every week we're seeing something that's just a little bit different than the week before. And it's very encouraging to see that there's still improvement. And of course, Patrick's been sick for a long time. So Patrick is going to be the slow road back, as he's turning out to be. I would like one day just to find a magic bullet, give it to him, he'll just recover and everything will just be behind us. But until that day, I know that every time I give him more MMS, we're killing down more pathogens, and Patrick returns to us drop by drop every day.
For assistance, Carrie turned to Jim Humble, the man who discovered MMS in 1997 and has been researching and promoting its many uses ever since.
I'm really quite impressed with what Carrie is doing with autism and how she's using MMS, and the results that she's getting has been quite phenomenal.
Jim Humble has certainly stirred up a substantial amount of controversy over his MMS discovery. Some call it snake oil, while others say it is no different than household bleach and will cause the very ailments Mr. Humble claims it will cure.
It's crazy to say that MMS is the same as a laundry bleach. It isn't even the same chemical. Even table salt has chlorine in it. Just because something has chlorine in it does not make it a bleach.
Although Humble's critics are outspoken, countless individuals around the world consider him a godsend, and he is frequently invited to speak at well-attended conferences the world over. Kerry Rivera is also no stranger to conferences.
Good morning. Today we're going to talk about autism recovery.
On May 27, 2012, she spoke at Autism One, the most recognized conference in the autism field. Although extremely well received by the moms at the event, once word got out that she was given such a legitimizing platform, the blogosphere and media went into a tailspin, attacking her use of MMS on children, while completely ignoring the ever-growing number of recoveries as a result of Kerry's protocol, including these children that appeared in a South American Autism Organization's commercial. So what do you tell those people who are critical of you using MMS on children?
I think it's totally ridiculous. We have 38 children recovered in less than 20 months of using MMS to heal, cure, and recover children from autism. And these children, when they recover from autism, are healthier than the general population. So I ask those people, why wouldn't you use MMS to cure autism?
The cause of autism is heavily debated among the experts. But if you ask the moms, a particular observation is heard quite often.
You know, those people who say that autism is caused by vaccinations, so what's your feeling about that?
I can't speak for everybody, but in the case of our son, it was very noticeable that after a vaccine that he changed dramatically. But we have two choices. We can either focus on where autism came from or focus on the future and the healing from autism. And so I choose to work towards autism recovery.
Whatever the actual cause, whatever the ultimate perfect cure, there is no question that Kerry Rivera and her efforts have made an ever-growing positive dent in the autism community.